but man, you messed this one up.
And I can't explain to you how much it has affected my life this last week.
It's kind of a festival shrinkflation, and maybe this is part of trying to add value back.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. Russ, man, you're always in the coolest places.
That's a hell of a green screen you got there, Russ.
Like last time, this is real. This is real.
Yeah, oh, your basement real. Looks different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where are you, man?
I'm at the lake. I'm at my aunt's house down in Georgia. She lives right here on the lake. And so we're here for the weekend. And so I just thought I'd check in here with you guys while I'm sitting here on the deck.
Adam.
PBR time, baby. Mm-hmm.
Life is good for Russ.
For those who don't know, we record in the morning. So it's the classic, you can't drink all day if you don't start
in the morning. That's right. Absolutely. All right. We got an interesting show, I think, today. We're going to talk a little bit Bonnaroo. We're going to talk a little bit other festivals. And then we're going to talk a little bit Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just because Brian and I are, those type of things are fodder. They're so easy.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
It's low-hanging fruit. But it's always fun. I'm a sucker for a list, and I'm a sucker for inductions into ceremonial-type things like the Hall of Fame. And a lot of this comes from sports. We're both sports guys, but specifically baseball. Like, the Hall of Fame baseball, oh, my God, people will fight over that at times. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has got a whole different kind of television programming. None of this really means anything nature to it, but it's still fun, especially with a lot of first-year nominees. So we'll touch on that a little bit later on in the hour.
Exactly. But first, I need to eat a big old fat plate of crow.
Yeah. Speaking of things that doesn't matter, this doesn't matter. But, man, you messed this one up. if you want to reset it.
Yes, I will. And I can't explain to you how much it has affected my life this last week. I am beyond embarrassed. It's affected my life. Last week, I mentioned on the show at the beginning that I went down to see my daughter, who I love and adore, who is a music fan, music snob like myself. I'm very proud of her. I have shaped this child into what I want. She loves the same music I do. And so when I got to her house last week, she had bought a book for me, Danny Clinch coffee book, photo book. And I walked into the room and I looked at the cover and I thought, oh my God, that's Jim James on the cover. Everyone who listens to this show knows I love My Morning Jacket.
Of contemporary music, I would say it's your favorite, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Beatles, next level. My Morning Jacket and Bonnaroo to me are intertwined. Yeah. I can't explain to you how deeply I am a My Morning Jacket fanatic, which is what makes this even more painful for me.
Yeah, and I just think My Morning Jacket's okay, but we'll come back.
I get it. 2008, when I saw them, that changed. That and Bonnaroo became a My Morning Jacket and a Bonnaroo fan. So when I saw this book, I thought, that's Jim James. Never gave it another thought. All weekend, I mentioned it. I sent pictures to you guys.
Yeah.
I got this book. I talked about it. And then, Monday, I guess, I'm looking at our Discord, and I don't know who, but somebody said, that's Eddie Vedder on the cover.
I wish I could have been involved in this thread.
I don't
go to the Discord enough.
Please, let me.
I think this was a comment on the video. I don't think it was Discord. You should join our Discord.
You're right. It was on YouTube. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Oh, my God. My heart just dropped. I was like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's Eddie Vedder. There's no question about it. I have no excuse.
Man.
I don't know what happened. But let me just explain to you how much this impacted me. So this morning I got up because I knew we were going to record. I've been listening to my Victrola all morning. I've been listening to Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. I'm going back in time trying to cleanse.
I was gonna say, that's way back in time. Yeah.
I'm trying to cleanse this horror that I've done.
Does any of this have to do your regret, I mean, with you giving me shit all these years about my idolatry of Eddie Vedder, and then
that's part of it. Okay. I've thought about, as soon as it happened, I was like, it couldn't have been any worse. It's Danny Clinch, who I adore.
Yeah.
It's rock and roll. I should know better.
Yeah.
It's Eddie Vedder, who you adore.
And you think is a little annoying.
Yes. Your love for him. So, I mean, it's like, if I were going to step on my own penis, I could not have come up with any better way to have stepped on my own foreskin.
Well, there's an admission.
Pile on, please, because I'm trying to.
Well, there is a bit of a vibe of, old man says he's a big My Morning Jacket fan, huh?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Big fan over there.
Yep.
Right. Name music. Three albums.
I'm Mr. Music Guy. I don't know the difference between Jim James and Eddie Vedder.
Name three songs. Name three band members.
There it is. I got a Biggie t-shirt on. I can't name three songs.
You sure that's Biggie?
Well, but it tracks with Clinch because Springsteen, Vedder, and I would say somewhere near the top of his list of many bands he's multiple times shot would be Jim James and My Morning Jacket too. So all
I was
going to
say, it could be. It could be Jim James. I mean, they're both, you know, long-haired guitar guys.
The image is similar, I can't explain it, but the image is enough. That's all I saw. And then in my mind, once I saw that image, I never looked at the cover any closer. So it was Jim James. So, but man, it has bothered me all week. For so many reasons.
I'm glad it's bothered you. I'm glad it has. Because that's the kind of thing that would make me feel like a total dope, too.
So. Well, then that's the thing. And you know, Brian, because you've been in radio and I was in newspapers. When I make mistakes, a lot of people see it. It's not like, you know, whatever. It's suddenly an error in the newspaper, you know, 100,000 people see it and you can't undo it type of thing.
And errors and misinformation and misspeaking and getting it wrong used to be a really big deal.
Yeah.
Used to be a big, the good news is now in the era we're living in, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's bothered me. I will forever, especially again, because it's you. And it's better. Oh. It's not like I mistook him for you.
Now
know.
I want it. Now I want that book.
Because of my dumbness, whatever you want to call
dumb nuts.
Dumb nuts, my stupidity, it has forced me to rethink music. And when I say I've been listening to Bing Crosby on the Victrola, I'm not kidding. I have a Victrola.
Oh, I believe you.
And it just reminds me that it is about the music. We have done, and I've probably, as guilty as anybody, been talking about Bonnaroo and festivals and the community spirit and the blah, you know, the all the extras, but it really is about the music. And that's when I say that I'm a huge My Morning Jacket fan from 2008. That concert, that show changed my life. Going to Bonnaroo and seeing them at that show, they did 4 hours. I saw two of it, 2 hours of it, because I just was like, I can't do this. It started to rain. But that literally reinvigorated my whole love for this genre. And I sent you guys, because I was laying in bed this morning, I sent you both a couple of links. There's a guy on YouTube who basically just randomly kind of plays music for people and then ask them to talk about the song and what it means to them. One of them was a history of Grateful Dead in 10 songs, and then a history of CBGBs in 10 songs. And I sent them both to you because, obviously, Brian, I know you're a big Dead fan. So he interviewed David Lemieux, who is, I didn't know there was such a thing, he's the historian for the Grateful Dead. And then the other is Roberta Bailey. She was a photographer. She wasn't at the time. She became a photographer during the heyday of CBGBs. And those two things, I watched them both. They're long, they're hour long. But those, you know, we're talking about history of music. The Grateful Dead, there's no question their place in the music. And then CBGBs with Television, Blondie, the Ramones.
Yeah, CBGBs, it's a club in New York, correct?
And yes, often credited as the birthplace of punk, if you will, new wave. Mm-hmm. And she talks about that a lot. It's especially interesting to me and you, Russ, because you sat in my living room with me when we listened to Television's Marquee Moon with Richard Lloyd. Rhino re-released it, and so you and I had that unbelievable pleasure.
Oh, it was so cool. I'm so glad we got to do that. Yeah,
yeah, I know, Brian, you had to work, but the fact that we got to sit in my house with Richard Lloyd listening to Marquee Moon still gives me the tingles. So mm-hmm. In some way, that is my own weak attempt at trying to reclaim some street cred.
trying to cleanse your soul a little bit.
Shameless. I highly recommend anybody listening to this, watch especially the history of CBGBs with Roberta. She was there. She worked the door at CBGBs. She would take $2, and she said there's like 20 people would come, 40 people early on. It was Television's basically studio. And she was like, nobody thought they were going to be famous. They all wanted to be, you know, I mean, that's, you know, or most of them wanted to be the next Beatles, but nobody, she was like, you couldn't look at that band and say they're going to be it. She was not a big fan of Patti Smith, who was one of those. Blondie took forever. And, you know, she points out Blondie became basically famous because Debbie Harry was good looking.
Exactly.
Which obviously she is. But they also wrote great songs. But that came later. So it's just really interesting to your point, how many, to the other side of it, and I don't know if you ever were guilty of this, Brian. I've tried not to be as a journalist, ask the, did you know you were changing the world? Did you know, those kind of questions? But it's an interesting question because it's just one of those things. You know, did you know you were in the middle of an event changing
moment
type of thing? Who knows that? But I have asked Richard Lloyd that, the guitar player for Television, because he lives here in Chattanooga and he and I have become friends. In fact, I'm texting his wife right now as we speak, again, name dropping, trying to get some of that cred back.
Trying to get some cred back. Yeah.
You've got plenty of credibility in my mind, Barry.
But yeah. I sent Sheila and Richard that same video this morning. And she was talking about Roberta. She remembers. But I did ask Richard, did you know? And Richard is one of the few people who said, yes, I knew we were making a great record with Marquee Moon. I think we asked him that, Russ, in my living room, did we not?
We did.
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knew that was going to be a great record. So that's, there you go. All right.
Well, we got some Bonnaroo stuff to get to a little bit here. We want to do that before we take a break?
Yeah, let's do that now that I've humbled myself.
So we record late last week, still the same day as we always do, but late in the day, which you would hope would mean any information we needed for that week would have come in before the dinner time on a Sunday. And no, minutes. Five? 4-7 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
When we get done on a long day, we won't go into why. It was just, it's a boring story. Actual Bonnaroo news with the late nights getting kind of rounded out and the sunset sunrise sets and the additions. That was annoying.
Yeah.
Now, not that we could add any real good analysis as to what this exactly is. But people seem to be really excited on Reddit. For the first time, we talked about this last week a little bit. I'm not trying to be negative guy, but all I see is negativity. So that's all that sometimes there is to talk about. Quickly, that negativity died off on social channels. And Enzo, Gorgon City with the sunrise sets. And then, sorry, help me out, Taco. What was the other edition? Ganja White Knight.
We kind of knew that was coming because of the clue that the Festival put out, the week before.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Festival gets less and less cryptic as time goes on. He's easier to guess at times. Mm-hmm. People were genuinely, genuinely excited about this. Is this enough to make people say, you know what? Maybe I will buy. Oh, also, something since last week, take a little credit here. We can all divide it three ways. The price increase that is coming around the bend a couple of times between now and June that I've been, and I've said it online a couple of times too, I kind of wish they would just kind of pull the emergency lever on this one and stop having the price increases. Well, they're not going to do that necessarily, but you got, what, 2-3 more weeks into March before the prices will increase again.
It's extended, yep. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, as I mentioned at least sometime recently somewhere, that this lineup has been kind of what it is since the moment it was released. And oftentimes over the years, something will start to make a little noise as we get closer to the spring and then on our way into June. And then all of a sudden there's like, oh my God, I mean, Chapel Roan being the perfect example, but that's the outlier. There's so many others that are on a lesser scale. Is this that this year? Is this the thing with the pushback of the price increase? Will this spark some ticket movement? I hope so. What do you think?
It might. Yeah, I think you can definitely take full credit for this, Brian, because you were the one that brought
it's
it
all
up.
Me.
So
I can't even remember what it was to formulate my thought. But yes.
Yeah. I hope so, and I want to give you a credit again, or some more credit. I thought you made such a great point last week, and we talked about it, but the idea that it needs to sell a lot of tickets. I had mentioned something like, if it's fewer people, great, good for us, it's fewer people.
Well, it's easy to say that, right? Because it will be.
I think you were 100%. No, we need this because we want this festival to be successful. So, yeah, we need to sell tickets.
Yeah, and maybe this is enough. When the other year when Pretty Lights did that sunrise set, that was felt like such a special kind of thing because he is such a name that I wanted to see some of it. And I did to a certain degree. But are these acts moving the needle like that? I don't know. I hope so. And also, how many of y'all staying up till sunrise two nights in a row? Do you not do anything during the day at Bonnaroo?
There will be people that will do both sunrise sets, I promise.
I know, but dude, how do you sleep? Where do
drugs.
You sleep?
Well,
drugs. Red Bull. I think, but does the Thursday night, I think I'm getting more and more excited about the Thursday night thing, even though we haven't really talked about it very much, or they haven't, we don't know.
Yeah, it hadn't been a lot of chatter.
For a fact, but I think it's going to be pretty epic. It's going to be different. It's going to be unlike anything we've done. We've Brian, you and I loved Thursday in the past because it was Discovery. It was, you know, there was usually the you know, the acts that we've never heard of, and it was casual, and you'd find somebody that you, you know, and then you, oh my God, that's my new favorite act.
Alabama Shakes back in the day, Courtney Barnett. Years before that. I mean, I mean, lifelong fan was created that night on a Thursday in 2015.
100%. But now we've got this different sort of, don't know what to expect, which I'm kind of excited about.
My guess is it'll be a high production, loud, good, very, very well put together, choreographed party on the what stage.
Yeah.
And you really can't go wrong on that stage, it's certainly from my opinion. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I just hate losing that day. I mean, for everything we just said. But, hey, I mean, I'm over it now. Move along.
It'll be a welcome back to the farm type of thing. It'll be different for Russ because Russ will have been there God knows since when. Brian, you and I get there.
Usually since Tuesday, but now it'll be since Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I already have a full day in. But, yeah, and it's going to be interesting, too, because I think what Corey told us was that, you know, they're basically turning the keys over to Skrillex. Like, he's basically, as far as programming, he's, you know, whatever he says is what they're going to do. So
yeah, I think that's a safe, just like safe decision. I think Skrillex will do it right.
It's going to be great.
And that's what I mean. That's kind of exciting. I'm kind of, you know, curious to see what happens. Like I said, I anticipate, oh my God, this is not anything we've ever seen before type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. So I'm excited about that. Does that go on into Sunrise? You know, probably. And then you got Friday and then Saturday. So, I mean, it feels like packing a lot more into a shorter amount of time versus spreading it out like we've been doing for the last 5 years or so, 8 years, well, give or take COVID.
Maybe this was the goal from the beginning to do it that way. But with a lot of the complaints being, you're shrinking, you know, what we call shrinkflation in economics.
Right.
Shrinkflation, when prices go up and quantity of purchase power goes down. Not just price went up, you also, you know, your cereal went from that much to that much.
Right.
It's kind of a festival shrinkflation, and maybe this is part of trying to add value back. Maybe, and probably more likely, they've had this idea from the jump, and they knew it.
Yeah.
You know, they were gonna work their way through it into the season. And I think there is a little bit. This bouncing the ticket price increase by a couple of weeks, I don't think that was on, like, 2 months ago. They said, "Oh, we'll put it out there and then we'll change it." No, I think that was an on the fly thing. Like, let's try to take advantage of this situation, some positivity out there, some people excited about something, and
I think
be like,
you're right.
We won't do this. First of all, Bonnaroo, once again, you shouldn't do it at all. Just keep pushing the tickets and say, you know what, guys, we hear you. Inflation's killing everybody right now. We just want everybody out the farm. We want a big time. We're not even gonna increase these anymore. Let's go. That's what I think you should do, but nobody asked me. But this is a nice secondary step.
Well, but you know, they listen to Brian Stone on the What Podcast, so.
As they sure should.
They should.
You're an influencer.
They freaking
As
should.
They should.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
All right, and we're back. And as we mentioned, right as we ended our show last week, we got some news about the Bonnaroo lineup, but also a couple of other festivals dropped their lineups almost. I really do wish they would check with us.
Yeah, they really do, man.
Yeah, they
Sometimes
really do.
Sometimes it's
to.
So close. It's so close.
It would be helpful. Mm-hmm.
Taco, you had this one. Of course, you had a little inside intel, but shaky anyway, right?
Shaky Knees in Atlanta, which is going to be September 18th through the 20th at Piedmont Park, which is where it was last year. They dropped the lineup, and, you know, you've got the Strokes, Turnstile, Geese, 21 Pilots, Pierce the Veil, The Prodigy, Pavement, Gorillaz, LCD Sound System, and Wu-Tang Clan. That's some of your headliners. You know, the first time I looked at this when it came out, I thought, well, it looks like it, you know, half of this is Bonnaroo. But really, the more I dove into it, no, this is a lot more different than Bonnaroo. You know, there is some crossover for sure, but there's some stuff on there that, you know, I would love to have had at Bonnaroo. And I would say they did it again. I said last year, I don't know if I'm going to go back just because it's such a slog of a weekend. I mean, it's a lot of walking and
it's tough just, downtown.
It's
Atlanta.
Tough, especially, you know, when you can't just go back and pass out, you know. You have to leave the venue and either go back to your hotel or, you know, go somewhere else. But this lineup, I think it's pulling me back in. I mean, Gorillaz, come on.
Well, this is where when people talk pricing, it doesn't stack up fairly with Bonnaroo because, oh, it's cheaper to go to Shake and Ease. No, I promise you it's not. I promise you it's not. Not if we're just talking dollars and cents. But so that was going to be my question, Taco. It speaks to you then, because this is kind of your account. You've been a Shaky Knees diehard for several years. Seven, 8 years ago. I loved this festival. I still do. I just haven't gone as much, as it's a rock and roll centric festival. But yeah, what about anything on the undercard? Is it that might
well? That's the one thing is the undercard didn't do as much for me as it did
I thought the same thing.
Year.
I thought the same thing.
You know, the headliners
thing.
Are great, but it kind of falls apart, you know, right
I
after
absolutely
that.
Agree with that 100%. I wondered if you would... Yeah. I wondered if it was just my ignorance or my low tolerance for stuff I don't, you know that well or might have a preconceived note, like Taking Back Sunday, right? Like, I just think I don't like them. I don't know that I don't. But at first glance, I thought this thing was awful. And then I don't know why. I guess I just saw Strokes. 21 Pilots are fine. Gorillaz, fine. But and then I was just like, okay, well, everything's down a little bit maybe. And then I started looking more. It's pretty good. Like it just because I don't like it necessarily doesn't mean it's not a really good. I mean, LCD Sound System.
LCD Sound System. Yeah. There's a lot on here to like.
I like them a lot.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give the opposite. I'm going to surprise you. But it's for different, it's for selfish reasons. I had a buddy who lives about four blocks who let me crash at his place and drove me literally to the gate. Yeah. I loved Shaky Knees last year.
Yeah, you had it made.
I loved everything about it. I loved that park.
It's fun. Yeah.
Well, I did too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love the dual stages, but I mean, you know, I got to look at the schedule, and my buddy said, hey, when do you want to go? And, you know, I'm like, my band starts here in about 10 minutes. He said, all right. And so he drove me to the gate. I got, you know, you and I hung out. We got to see Bill Murray. You know, we got to interview
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Murray, the band.
The band.
Johnny Frank. Yeah. From the band Bill Murray, not Bill Murray himself. Yeah,
I loved Shaky Knees. So
me too.
As far as a city festival, I like that park. I like the way it was laid out. But I get your point, and that's what I've always said. If you have to deal with hotel and
you got to get 3 nights of hotel in Midtown Atlanta.
Yeah,
Jesus, what 300
Uber back and forth? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not cheap.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta prefer a camping festival for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for those that don't agree with you there, Taco, that want a place to stay and a shower, well, then yes, you're going to have a more refreshing and a better time potentially at a city festival like this. But you're going to spend.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it.
You're going to pay for it. Let's just put it. That's a good way to put it. I don't know if you'll spend more or less. Exactly. But you are going to pay for it unless. And I've got a lot of these hookups in Atlanta, too. That's when I used to spend a lot of time in Atlanta. I used to know 5, 6, 7 people there and couches to crash on and everything else. Those days have dried up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, my expense was beer at the festival and dinner and breakfast for my buddy. You know,
that sounds like a hell of a time.
I had a blast.
Yeah, you got the best deal. Yeah.
I loved it. And got to see, Devo. and a bunch of other great bands. So I loved it. And I love that park. I love the layout of it, all of that. So
I look this. I look at this and I see this being a possibly a Sunday day trip for me. And primarily because of Jet, the Australian 90s band, or really too early 2000s band that I saw at the Corona Capital Festival as just one of those, I think I remember this band a little bit.
And
then I was then you hung out with the singer, right?
That was the other UK band. That was,
Struts.
Struts. Same deal with them. Same kind of discussion. But I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I listened to Jet for like 5 years of my life. I just forgot, or two or three years anyway. Yeah. So that could bring me back, even though they don't make new music. They're just a tribute act to themselves. Now,
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
They just play everything that everybody wants to hear. So I see Sunday day trip for me written. And I mean like legitimately on that one.
Well, maybe you and I need to go down there and I can get my buddy. He can take us to the front gate. We can get in there and get in and out.
Now I'm totally in.
Yeah.
Now I'm totally in.
You're speaking Brian's language now.
Yeah. Free? Hold on. What are we talking about now?
Yes. Yes, please.
Or limited funds needed. A couple festival, not, you know, things that are hitting the festival top of the headline news circuit, but when we were young out in Las Vegas, a smashing success of a festival for a couple of years anyway. They're taking this year off with an already scheduled, but their wording makes it sound like they're already scheduled to be back in 2027. Is this more of a trend for festivals going forward? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that's Glastonbury takes every fifth year off. They kind of started that kind of scheduling of whatever they call that. I can't even remember what they call it, for not furlough year, but
No, but you're close.
Yeah, it's not furlough.
Fallow year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of time for Glastonbury specifically, that's to let the land recover.
Right.
This When We Were Young thing doesn't have a damn thing to do about the land out in the desert and concrete in Las Vegas. What my first thought on this was, it's the same thing every year. You know, it's an emo festival. I almost said Three Doors Down. What's the band that's all over the place right now that, I'm sorry. What is that stupid band called? That was South Star and everything else that everybody loves from the early 2000s. Anywho, it'll come back to me in a minute. There's only so many times you can book these emo bands and fill up festivals. So maybe.
Yeah, that was my thought, was maybe they had just run out of bands to book. I mean, you know,
I think
run through the catalog and then there's not new ones, you know.
Blink 182.
Blink 182.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry. Blink 182. But so they're taking it off, and it's just surprising because they sold so many tickets.
It was huge. It seems like they were, every time you turn around, they were announcing another one.
It is an interesting idea to take time off.
Sometimes it's insane to think that people, organizations, corporate monster or not so much, do these huge festivals every year. Really think about it, because I mean, you can start working on this the month when you're done with the last one. I mean, it's just a never ending thing. We've talked to people that do it.
It's insane that we go every year when you think about it. But would we go every other? How would it change our lives if you probably move on? You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's an interesting idea that a lot of people, meaning the take time off and come back model. It's an interesting idea that most people
would scoff at
because of continuity, right? Because of keeping things on a schedule and staying, you know, to the values of what you say this thing is. And it might make people think, or promoters feel like you're discrediting it, you know, like that it's undermining the importance of what it is. If you just, we'll just do it whenever we want. Well, then it's not that, is it that big of a deal?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can see it in the sense that again, 50% of the people who go to Bonnaroo are new every year. they don't know. You know what I mean? They don't. They didn't go last year. So
yeah,
they're
just learning.
They don't. Right. In that sense, I can get it. But does it get the you and me, you know, okay, I'll take a year off type of thing? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't want to go too far down this road, but it would not shock me in the slightest if Bonnaroo did something like this.
Well, yeah. I could get used to it. I mean, we were forced to take a couple years off, you know, 2020 and 2021, and we survived and we came back. I think there's plenty of other stuff to do throughout the year. We've got the caverns right close by. I think that could fulfill. If Bonnaroo took a year off, I would just party at the caverns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, I would not. It would be the least surprising thing I've ever heard recently, in recent history of festival news, if Bonnaroo said they're going to take a year off, whether it be 2027 or down the road or whatever. I don't know, and I don't want to turn into a big, you know, dumb Reddit comment section on this one. So I don't have anything to tell you why believe that. Yeah, yeah, I got other than a little here and there. But overall, I don't know how bad of an idea it would be. Because it seems to be working for some organizations, and maybe they would consider it too. But as of now, there absolutely nothing is imminent or any discussions.
Bonnaroo, don't listen to us. Don't take our ideas. Listen. We're not suggesting that you take a year off. Yeah.
Be angry with me for even suggesting it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian Stone at thewhatpodcast.com.
He is Brian blocked. Block that man.
Yeah. Also, just as funny to hear Russ say that he would be fine, says the guy who's sitting at the lake who manages to always have somewhere to go.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You're the least worrisome. You'll find something.
Guys. Where would I go? What would I do? I have no idea. I guess I'd just be stuck at home, nothing to do.
There's two things here. Yeah, of course he would be fine because he would figure out something with that bus and some cliff to hang off of,
correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I don't believe you for a damn second. The guy who's knocking on the door and cutting the grass on the way out the door and then trying to get in when the gate's still locked.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
believe
for a second.
First to enter, last to leave.
Yeah, I don't believe for a second that'll be okay by you.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely want a Bonnaroo every year.
There you go. Yeah. There it is.
Make no mistake.
A couple other things on festival stuff. This Oceaga that I'd never even heard of until last year, it's in Montreal. Late July, early August, the last weekend of July. And I read about it last year when I hadn't heard of it and regularly got the Lollapalooza of Canada as its comp.
Okay.
And they released their lineup and it's pretty solid, not as good as it was last year, but a lot of crossover, 21 Pilots, Geese. I mean, Geese. This push just doesn't end.
Geese is on every lineup forever.
Geese! Oh, my God! You get to a point where, like, enough Geese already? Sorry.
We might be there.
We might be there already. The XX. Geez, I didn't even think they were a band anymore. Wet Leg doing the same thing all over the festival map landscape this year. Turnstile is there as well. Mountain Joy. Lord. Boy, I think Bonnaroo would be a big-time upgrade just if Lord was on their list.
I think that would have made a big difference.
I'd love to see her. She's making that kind of comeback of sorts, mm-hmm. new music, all that. So if you find yourself in Montreal at the end of July, they've got a pretty nice little setup there. And
I'm looking at it. That's nice. Wet Leg, I'm glad you keep mentioning that. I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
They're good. They're a little sleepy actually. I thought they'd be a more rock, but it's good. It's right up my alley. I'm looking forward to that a lot. Yeah. And
of
one other festival,
Monsters and Men. That's another one on there. I wonder what that show looks like. But anyway,
another band that I wasn't certain still was Monsters and Men. I didn't I wouldn't have guessed they quit forever, but I haven't heard of new music from them in a while. But then a bunch of other bands on here that I hadn't heard of. I'm guessing a lot of those are Canadian bands. But I don't know that. I do not know that.
Yeah.
And then over where Bourbon and Beyond takes place, you know, after I get done trashing their festival site last week, which I'm sorry, I've never been there, but I've just heard from enough people that it's just not the most aesthetically pleasing place. They have Louder Than Life coming to that same spot, the Kentucky, what is it, the Expo Center, Kentucky Expo Center. Mm-hmm. And this thing is stacked if you're into metal.
We got a lot of comments about that. Russ, correct me. I mean, you often see more than I do, but kind of both ways, right? A lot of people said it's great. They fixed it. They have no problem with the site. And then a few people said, no, you got to get VIP and then it's great. So
yeah, it was a little mixed. We did get some people push back and say, no, you know, a lot of that's out of date. They've improved a lot of stuff and I hope that they have. Yeah, and very interesting.
It's a great lineup. I know that much.
I still think we need to just make the trip one year and just and go see for ourselves.
Well, Patrick Whelan from Subaru will be on with us at the end of March. He lives in Louisville. So
there you go.
We're all coming over, buddy.
Yeah.
We're all coming over.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But then quickly, Louder Than Life. I mean, I'm not going to go through all these, but the Prodigy people, you mentioned that earlier on Shaky, Russ. Yeah. People are crazy excited about the Prodigy. I mean, I don't know. Is this a reunion or have they been just kind of here and there for 35 years or whatever it is? 40
I don't
years?
Know. I haven't really heard much from them since high school.
Yeah, I mean, I might neither. Yeah. Like that one song, The Firestarter, remember that song?
Yeah,
I am the Firestarter. Mm-hmm. Who is the Firestarter? Yeah. Like, that's all I know.
That's all I know.
But people are excited about the Prodigy. So Tool, Limp Bizkit, My Chemical Romance, which, geez, it's crazy how their popularity has been just
Danzig.
Continuous.
Oh, my God.
Megadeth, Alice Cooper, Pantera, Danzig, Papa Roach, Hailstorm, Rise Against, Jimmy Eat World. As another one. If this is your genre, it goes for days.
And
I think it's the same promoter too. Danny Wimmer, something like
Danny
that?
Wilmer.
Wimmer. I think it's the same. Where does this guy get all this money? How does he do this?
How do you afford all these bands?
Tom Morello's on there.
Yeah, Morello.
That's awesome.
It just keeps going and going and going. I think that would be I think I would get tired of the Guar also. I think I'd get tired of the people really quick, but sorry to be that guy, but you know this is an obnoxious place to be.
Yeah,
with all that kind of Mastodon, Black Label Society, right? That's Zach Wilde's band, isn't it? Isn't it, Taco? I think.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway,
I'm drawing a blank there. Yeah.
Yeah.
See Alice Cooper if you don't see any other. That's a great
Alice
show.
Alice is great. Yeah.
It's fun, and he ain't gonna be with us forever. And,
exactly.
We saw him in it's a drunken fool at 2012.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper midnight show, I think, on that.
That's probably when you and I met. Really.
Maybe.
Spent more time together. Yeah.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
It was awesome. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we're going to talk Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when we get to vent. We'll be right back. All right, Brian, I think you and I are in agreement. We love nothing more than a list that we can hate. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame provides that. Every year, right?
Yeah, they do. They do. I am a sucker for a list. I think it's the ultimate arguing platform or debate online that I think is actually can be healthy and fun.
It's the original clickbait.
Yeah, it's the very very first original clickbait. And it's, you know, it's the whole philosophy is five best things ever. Make sure one of them's the worst.
There you go.
Right? Like, make sure one of those five best is the worst, so everybody will.
Right.
Will
Number three will shock you.
Yeah. Number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greatest music ever. It's Devo. Right. Like greatest ever. I'm talking.
Yeah.
About.
Most overrated band ever. The Beatles.
Yeah.
Wait. What?
Exactly. Who the hell do you think you are? But so just to name a few, the first time nominees this year, and by the time they have the winners, you know, that is not a whole lot to talk about. It's the nominations that I think is the most fun. First time nominees, Jeff Buckley, Phil Collins, Melissa Etheridge, Lauryn Hill, NXS, a lot of new ones this year. New Edition, Pink, Shakira, Luther Vandross, and Wu-Tang Clan.
All right, which one? Where? Who's the outlier? Who's the what the? Which one?
I don't know. I mean, these are actually a lot of, and then the holdovers. There's Billy Idol. There's Oasis. There's the Black Crowes, and a handful of others. Iron Maiden. I don't think there is anything that's a what here.
No, that's all pretty solid.
Deserving for discussion? Well, then we could do an hour podcast on it, which we won't. We'll only do a few more minutes here. But, you know, quickly, I just wanted to refresh my memory on some of these things that aren't in my immediately top of mind. Jeff Buckley, he only had one album. I forgot. I knew he didn't have much. Mm-hmm. Died in 97 of drowning, accidental right. drowning after one album and right to have a new, you know, rock and roll, saddest rock and roll stories. You're going to make a list of those. So one album, does that get you in the Rock Hall? I mean, immediately I say no. Lauryn Hill, same deal. She's alive. Sorry, she's alive. yeah. One album. A five Grammy award winning, like,
well,
go ahead.
If you're going to have one album, that's a hell of an album.
The Miseducation
of Lauryn Hill.
Well, yeah, and but, Buckley, you know, gets, she did Buckley a lot with the gets Fugees. In because of Hallelujah, right?
Yeah.
Because of the movie.
Yeah, but it's not his song.
But that's not his. That's
I agree.
A cover.
I'm that's, yeah, that's, but that's all anybody knows, right? It's not even his song. And
true.
I'm not even
that's
sure
a,
it's
that's
the,
a Leonard like Cohen song.
Yeah, I prefer K.D. Lang's version, personally. Yeah,
I think they're all great versions. I know I've never heard
fair
a bad
enough
version of that
that's
song.
Fair. That's fair.
But, you know, it would be like saying, well, we should put Jimi Hendrix in because he has a great song called All Along the Watchtower. It's really good.
okay, well,
he didn't write the song, so whatever. So, I have a hard time saying Jeff Buckley, but then... I don't know.
I think Lauryn Hill, that's a hell of an album. I mean, that was seminal.
That was a huge album when it came out.
And then
out.
The Fugees connection, certainly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. Things like, though, for me here, like Black Crowes. I mean, I just hate Chris Robinson so much. I can't stand that guy.
That would probably be the one I would argue.
I love their music. I do. I really, really do. But, ugh.
There's so many in there that.
I put that on and listened to Smooth Operator this morning and was like, God, I love this song.
Yeah,
and I don't know another one for the rest of this woman's career. So I don't know. What about, tell me about Luther Vandross.
That's an easy. Luther.
I mean, I know who I'm familiar with him, but give
love
me a case.
Me some
give
Luther.
Me the give me the case that he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
He's just smooth.
Influence.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, if you're on a date and you're, you know, there's nobody better than Luther.
So it's like, well, it's
put on some Luther.
Some Marvin
he's
Gaye.
Like a,
Marvin Gaye kind of.
Yeah, he's like a modern day Isaac Hayes, Marvin Gaye type.
Yeah. Smoother. I mean, Marvin to me would be more intellectual. Marvin is a put it on and listen to it. Luther is put it on as your backdrop, you know, light a candle and put some Luther on.
Yeah.
And it's all good from there.
How about this one? Phil Collins solo. What do you think about that, Mary?
I can't stand Phil Collins.
Do you not? See, I...
really?
He's a great drummer. He was a great drummer with Genesis, but I can't stand his solo stuff.
My dad
no
loved
jacket
him.
Jacket required. Yeah.
No jacket
Everybody's
required.
Everybody's dad loved
that
him.
That red cover. I listened to so much Phil Collins as a kid on Light Mix 105 radio station here in
Chattanooga.
That's
all you need to know right there, Light Mix.
You just summed it up. I read earlier when I was making some notes, it said he'll get is his adult contemporary dwelling as a music category from that time frame. I like Phil Collins. Okay. I think he's worthy. I think he's worthy for sure.
I get it. It's probably a time period type of thing.
I think Oasis will get in because of the buzz from last year Yeah. I think they will ride that wave just to have a better television show.
To me, the
as you know, I'm a huge fan, so of course I want them.
Yeah, to me, Oasis is an easy, no brainer.
No, I think they should be too. I just didn't want to sound super biased as a fan. But I think they'll get in this year. They're not first time nominee. I think they'll get in this year because of the explosion of 2025's comeback popularity.
Yeah.
Pink seems like a shoe in. I don't know. Maybe she's got such Madonna esque.
Pink and Billy Idol, I put together. You know, I could go either way. To me, it's again going back to the whole list thing. There are some bands that are in that I don't understand why they're in. You know, that sort of argument.
A Tribe Called Quest, could that be one of them?
Yeah.
That's one of my contemporaries I don't like.
Yeah, Wu-Tang, you know,
that's what I wrote right next to Wu-Tang. If Tribe Called Quest is in, then maybe Wu-Tang Clan is,
too. You
got to
get Wu-Tang in, yeah.
Yeah, and quickly, just the qualifications, just in case anybody doesn't know, there's not many. It's 25 years since your first commercial release. So release that EP, release that LP, whatever it is that's commercially released, and 25 years after that. And then other than that, it's a whole bunch of subjective stuff, like demonstrate significant musical impact, influence, and excellence. Like it's like, okay, well, that could be anybody. I mean,
yeah, sure. And looking at this list, Joy Division, New Order, I love them, but you know,
they don't jump off the page as Hall of Famers to me, but that New Edition's on there for the first time. I thought Joy Division, New Order, and New Edition were all the same band.
No.
I thought that was like...
Not at all.
One not even close.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where
Joy Division and New Order, yes. New Edition, no.
Well, that's where I was kind of playing off of a little bit.
But, more like the Smiths and that sort of... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and my last one here I'll throw out to you as we know we got to run, guys. Mariah Carey, 19 number one hits, second only to the Beatles. I mean, you get into that, is it rock and roll? But that conversation seems to be long over with.
Yeah.
It's got to be in, right? With that many number ones.
And well, then you get into the, is it album sales and hits versus quality? So, I mean, yeah, I get it.
I mean, I am Mariah Carey. 19's
a bunch. That's 19 pretty strong.
Number ones, only second to the Beatles.
Hard to argue.
It's hard to say. Shouldn't let her in. But other than the old, tired, boring, long gone argument of, well, it's not rock and roll. Well, it's not half this isn't rock and roll. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. They're the fan vote, which roll my eyes at a fan vote. But the fan vote is now, and then this will probably be announced, what, you think like midsummer or something like that, probably. So we'll check back in later down the road.
All right. Russ, what you got for the rest of the day, dude?
Real quick, I got a homework assignment for you, throw it out here. And I know you guys both have vinyl collections, and this is something I did. I went through my vinyl, and you go on Discogs and look up the median price, not the, you know, high end, not the low end, but the median selling price, and find out what your most valuable vinyl records that you own is. Because I found mine, and I was kind of surprised. I didn't think some of these I had were worth as much as I had. So
that's an interesting homework assignment. I like
that'll be interesting to go through and compare. It's not my number one most expensive, but I have the Ween album, Chocolate and Cheese.
Yeah.
And $200.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. 19, and that's not 19, even
1991
1994 94. And that's not even the most expensive album I own. So like I said, I was shocked. It's some of the stuff
I'm not going to say which one I think mine is, but I think I know, and I like this homework assignment.
Yeah.
Now where did you go to get price?
Discogs.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's actually what all the record stores, it's like industry standard for it's like Beckett back in the 90s to baseball cards.
And I use it. I catalog everything that I own because I'll go to a record store and see a record that I want. And think, oh, yeah, I'll buy it, bring it home, put it on the shelf, and then realize I already have this copy. So, I need a list so I can keep up with so I don't buy the same thing.
How many vinyl records do you have?
300 and something.
Yeah. How about you, Brian?
If we count my dad's collection that I have of his, there's probably 100 there, but of my own collection, 40, 50?
I think I'm 400 or 500, so it's going to be a minute. Okay, interesting homework. Interesting.
Something
I like
to think
it.
About. So.
Or at least okay. we'll pick out some notables and go from there or something. Yeah, love that idea.
But yeah, leading up to Record Store Day, I've been getting into like going through my collection and, you know, dusting some stuff off and playing it and, you know, having a good time with it.
I'm going to have to, does that include my Victrola? My old 70? Sure. Interesting. All right, I like it. Good idea. All right, see you guys.
All right, later.
See you next time.
See ya.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.